Everyone, welcome to this week's episode of The Balanced Mind. My name is Dion Bicycle, and today I want to talk about something we do every single day, but most of us, if we're being honest, are actually pretty bad at. Well, I'm talking about listening. Not just hearing a noise, but really, truly listening. You've heard me talk about the 1 in 60 rule. It's a simple idea from a pilot. If a plane nose is pointed in one tiny degree in the wrong direction, after 60 miles, the plane will be full mile off the target. In our lives, that 1 degree is often how we listen. We think we're on track, but a tiny bit of distraction today means that a year from now, our relationships are miles away from where we wanted them to be. Cause you see, the problem is that our brains are too fast. Why is listening actually so hard to do? It's actually a bit of a design glitch in our brains. Research shows that the average person speaks about 125 to 150 words per minute. That's a comfortable pace. But here's the kicker. Our brain is a supercar. It's built to process information about 400 to 500 words per minute. Do you see the problem? There's a massive mental gap between how fast I talk, how fast you think. While I'm talking, your brain has 300 words of extra space every single minute. What do we do with that extra space? We fill it with junk. We start thinking about dinner later on today, or we start rehearsing a clever thing to say on what's going on in the back of our head about this conversation. We might even be wandering in circles. Through our own worries, we don't focus. This is where the 1 in 60 error happens, because our brain is bored. It drifts away from the person in front of you. You're still nodding your head, but you aren't actually in the room anymore because your thoughts are miles away. We often talk about a healthy mind plateau. We talked about that in a few episodes ago. Those 7 daily nutritions is our brain's way to stay balanced. One of the most important ones is focus. Listening to the ultimate focus workout. But here's the research, what it tells us. If you are stressed out, or you haven't been getting enough sleep, your brain loses its fuel to stay focused. Science calls this attentional blink. It means when you're overwhelmed, your brain literally takes tiny millisecond naps while someone is talking to you. You aren't trying to be rude. Your brain just doesn't have the energy to bridge the gap. That's why maturity starts with taking the care of yourself first. You can't be a great listener if your partner or your kids or even yourself, your platter is empty and your brain is starting to rest. You aren't trying to be rude. Your brain just doesn't have the energy to bridge the gap. That's why maturity starts with taking care of yourself first. You can't be a great listener to your partner or to your kids if you don't have enough food on your platter. If that platter is empty, your brain is starving for rest. So let's talk about the mirror in our heads. There is a beautiful piece of research out of Princeton University that shows what happens when two people really connect. They used brain scans to watch people talking and listening. They found that when a listener is truly paying attention, their brain waves actually start to sync with one another when they are talking. It's like a dance. Your brain starts to mirror their brains. This is called neural coupling. It's how we feel empathy. It's how we move from the shame, you know, that pitying someone from a distance, to actually feeling what they feel. But here's the warning. That connection is fragile. The second you check a notification on your phone, or the second you let an invented story take over your thought, that mirror shatters. And the dance stops. And once the connection is broken, it's much harder to start over again. This brings us to the policy of permissiveness. In the past episodes, we talked about the policy of permissiveness. The way we allow small habits to slide because we don't seem like it's a big deal. In listening, it looks like multitasking. We think, yeah, I can listen to my spouse and I can scroll through Facebook at the same time. But research from Stanford University has proven that multitasking is a myth. Our brains can't do two things at once. They just jump back and forth really fast from one thought to another thought. Every time you jump from what the person is talking on the phone, you pay a brain tax, so to speak. Your ability to understand what they are saying drops significantly. In fact, some studies say it's like losing 10 points of your IQ in that one moment. Maturity is realizing that the person in front of you deserves 100% of your brain. Not the leftover 10% you have while you're looking at the screen. Maturity is staying put. Real maturity is the ability to sit in the silence. It's using that 30-second micro rest we talked about. Before you jump into a fix to fix the problem or to tell you how your story goes in or fits in. We've all been in that social house, right? With our friends. We let friends and people into our living room, but we don't actually listen to them. We're too busy protecting our own house. Remember in the past episode, we talked about allowing friends into your living room, your kitchen, and your bathroom, but your main bedroom, and the difference. The different type of intimacy you have. Remember, while people in the living room is your daily people, people in the kitchen is the people you work with, but people in your intimate bedroom, that's your close friends. So that's where the comparison comes from. So at the end of this segment, I want to give you a challenge, an audit for your day. Think about the person in your inner bedroom, the one who matters the most, your closest friends. When they talk today, notice that the 300-word gap in your mind. Instead of filling it with your thoughts, use that extra brain power to really look at them. Notice their eyes. Notice the tone of voice and also hear what's really on their heart. Stop the 160 error before you start. Because in a relationship, it isn't what you build on big speeches, you know. It's built on the small moments when someone's talking to you and you are truly being felt or heard and notice about what they said. So stick around for the next segment. We're going to talk about the tools to help us to listen better in our friendships and in our relationships. It is simple steps you can take to make sure you never miss 1 degree, that 1 degree turn again, and that you can give your full attention to your friendships. So, if you're just joining us, in the first part of the show, we talked about the 300-word gap. That's that extra space in your brain, the difference between how fast someone talks and how fast your brain can actually think. We've learned that if we don't fill the gap with something good, our minds start wandering in circles. And that's where the 1 in 60 error starts. We drift away from the people who matter most. Now, I want you to get practical. If listening is the bridge between two people, how do we actually build it? What are the bricks? What is the cement, the mortar? I want to give you 4 specific tools that you can start using the second you turn off this episode. And don't worry, they aren't complicated. They are simple, human, and backed by pretty fascinating research. First one is the AAS method, your daily blueprint. To keep your brain from drifting in that 300-word gap, you need a job to You need a job for it to do. I call this the AAS method. It stands for attend, acknowledge, and summarize. First, let's talk about attending. This is the physical part of listening. Have you ever tried to talk to someone while they were looking at their phone? You can feel the bridge is collapsing, aren't you? Research tells us that when we physically square up to someone, meaning our shoulders are facing theirs, we are sending a powerful signal to their own brains. We are actively saying this person is my only priority right now. Attending is about removing the policy of permissiveness. It's deciding that just one quick glance at your watch or your phone is a 1 degree error you aren't going to allow. When you attend, you are using your eyes to listen as much as your ears. You're noticing if their hands are shaking or if their smile doesn't quite reach their eyes. That is data you miss if you're looking at the screen. Next thing is acknowledging. This doesn't mean you have to agree with everything the other person is saying. It just means that you are showing them that you are still on the bridge. A simple nod, a small verbal cue, like I see or go on or I'm listening, acts like a heartbeat for the conversation. It's just saying, I'm still here, I'm still acknowledging you, you are still important. Think about it like a long distance phone call from years ago. If the other person was silent for too long, you'd ask, sorry, are you still there? Because the connection felt dead. When you acknowledge, you're telling the speaker, I'm still here, the connection is alive. Let's keep that, and that's what keeps the neural coupling. That brain synchronizing that we talked about from breaking. Finally, here's the big one, and that is summarizing. This is the ultimate test of emotional maturity. Before you jump in with your advice or your story, I want you to try one sentence. Sentence goes like this. So what I'm hearing you say is, it's always very important to just say, okay, because when you say it, they know that you are listening. If you can't summarize what they just said in your own words, then you weren't really listening. You were just waiting for your turn to speak. Summarizing forces your brain to use that 300-word gap for good instead of planning your comeback. Your brain has to work hard to translate that feelings into your own words. And when you get it right, the other person feels an incredible sense of relief. They feel validated. They feel like they aren't alone on the shoreline anymore. Shoreline meaning they are being understood and you are moving with them. Then we get something that we call a 3-second micro rest. And that's a cooling the brain. It's like the fan from your car when you have driving too far and the car heats up. And the fan goes on to cool down the engine. It's the same principle here. So have you ever noticed that when a conversation gets heated, you feel a rush? You know, the heat, the engine gets heated. And that rush in your chest. That is the body's alarm system. It releases cortisol, the stress hormone. When that happens, our brain enters the survival mode, and there's the problem. When you're in survival mode, your ears actually start to tune out of human speech. Your brain is actually looking for the trigger to fight, not a partner to understand. Because it's that fight or flight. And obviously you don't wanna flee, you wanna fight. But maturity is knowing when your alarm system is going off. This is where the micro rest comes in. When the other person finishes a sentence, especially a tough one, don't answer right away. Take one full deep breath. That 30-second pause does two things. First, it tells your brain's nervous system, hey, you know what, chill, we are safe. There is no emergency going on in this relationship or in this conversation. It lowers your cortisol so you can think clearly. Secondly, it gives the other person room to breathe. Often when we leave a bit of silence, the other person will say the real thing they were afraid to say. If you just jump in too fast, you might miss the most important part of the conversation. Silence isn't empty. It's where the truth has space to grow. And then I want to talk about that social house again that we talked about in the previous one where we say some friends we allow in our living room, or and the work people only stay in the kitchen, and the inner room, the bedroom, is only where there's one or two friends that you really open up to. So think about that for the next couple of minutes. So, the people on the porch, for example, are just casual. The person at the grocery store or a distant co-worker, you listen to them for information. You're polite, but you don't need to build a deep breach with them. People in your living room again is friends. Here you listen to, for connection, you see stories, you laugh together, and you build a solid foundation. But what about the inner sanctum, the sleeping area? That's very private. That's for your partner, your children, or your closest friends, confidence. The tool here is listening audit. Ask yourself this question. Am I giving inner sanctum listening to someone who belongs on my porch, in the kitchen, in the living room? Or worse, am I giving someone that's supposed just to work with me access to my private bedroom area, the inner part of my being? Maturity is having the boundaries to know that you cannot listen deeply to everyone. If you try, you'll end up with compassion fatigue. You'll be too tired to listen to the people that actually matters. So, I want you to look at your house, your life. Decide who gets the AAS. Attend, acknowledging, and summarize. Give your best listening to the people in your inner room, not necessarily everyone in your life right now. So we spend the first half of this episode looking outwardly. We talked about the 300 gap that happens when we listen to others and the physical tools we can use to build a bridge to the people in our lives. But now, I want to turn to something that is very, very important, and I want to shine a spotlight on it. I want to talk about the person you spend 24 hours a day with. The person whose voice is the loudest in your mind, even when the room is silent. I'm talking about you, yourself. I like to call it the science and the soul of listening to yourself. In the world of the balanced mind, we believe that you cannot be truly mature listening to others if you are deaf to what's happening inside your own skin. If your internal world is a mess, or just wandering in circles, or inventing stories, you'll never have the cognitive fuel to be present for anyone else. So let's talk about the science and the soul of listening to yourself. Have you ever sat down to relax, only to find your brain suddenly start screaming at you about a mistake you made 3 or 5 years ago? Or maybe it starts obsessing over a 1 in 60 error you are afraid to make tomorrow. There's a biological reason for this. Neuroscientists call it the default mode network. Think of it as your brain's screensaver. When you aren't focused on a specific task, like washing or doing dishes or writing an email, your brain automatically flips the switch to this internal network. Its job is to process your past, plan your future, and unfortunately scan for all social threats. If this is where your inner noise comes from, it is, you are not alone. It is like that for most of us. This internal voice isn't very kind. It's often the voice of the shame culture, telling us we aren't doing enough and that we are failing at our balanced mind journey. You see, maturity begins when you realize that just because a thought is loud doesn't make it true. In our previous episodes, we've talked about the invented stories. These are the narratives our brains create to explain the world around us. If your friend doesn't text you back, your default mode network might invent a story that says, you know what, I'm not important to them, or they're mad at me. You see, listening to yourself means catching that story in the act. And this is using the 300 word gap internally to ask, hey, wait a minute, is this a fact or is it a noise in my head? So, let's talk about time in on the feeding mind platter. This is where the healthy mind platter becomes your best friend. One of the essential nutrients on the platter is time in. This isn't just quiet time, it's attentional reflection time. Most people are terrified of being alone with their thoughts. We use our phones as pacifiers. Sorry, I got confused. Digital pacifiers to drown out the intentional noise. But when we do that, we are practicing a policy of permissiveness with our own mental health. We are allowing the clutter to build up because we are too afraid to listen or to hear it. Listening to yourself requires some tool we use for others, and that is attending. Remember, we said for people we need to attend, acknowledge, and summarize. Now we need to use it for ourselves as well. You have to square up to your own soul. Try this. Spend 5 minutes today without music, without a podcast, without any type of screen. Just sit there. At first, your brain will be like a noisy classroom. But if you sit long enough, the noise will settle down. You start to hear the real voice, the one that tells you you're exhausted, or that reminds you of that dream you've been putting on a shelf and haven't been working on. That voice is your internal navigation. If you don't listen to it, you'll find yourself miles off course, because before you even realize you've left the shore, you find yourself lost within yourself. See, excuse me. Often, we think that listening is something that happens in the ears and with our head. You know, we need to concentrate. But what if I tell you that if you want to be mature, you have to listen to your entire body? And this is where the brain-gut connection plays a big role. We've talked before about this brain-gut connection. Your gut has hundreds of millions of neurons. It's literally a second brain. It's constantly sending signals to your head through your vagus nerve. Have you ever had a sinking feeling in your stomach or a tightness in your chest when you were about to make a decision? That isn't just nerves. That feeling isn't just nerves. That is your body listening to the data that your conscious mind hasn't caught up yet. Maturity is learning to acknowledge these feelings and these signals in your gut. Instead of drinking another coffee to push through the exhaustion, or take a pill to numb the tension, try listening to it. Ask your body, what are you trying to tell me right now? And be honest with yourself. Usually the body is much more honest than your mind, because your mind can invent stories to justify staying in a bad job or in a bad toxic relationship. But your body will tell you the truth through your patterns and the way you think. It can also tell you the truth with your digestion and your energy levels. Listening to yourself means respecting the biological broadcast from your body that it's sending through to you every single day. It's constantly talking to you and we need to listen to it. Finally, I want to talk about downtime. Now, downtime on the health mind platter is fun. That is when we think and we allow the brain to wander off without it having a goal. Research shows that when we allow our minds to play or drift without the pressure of being productive, our brains actually perform a sort of cleaning service. It's called the lymphatic system, and it's most active when we rest. It flushes out the metabolic waste that builds up when we are stressed. So if you don't give yourself downtime, your brain becomes drained and congested. You lose the ability to regulate emotions and you become reactive. You snap at the inner people in your inner room. You move from a balanced mind and start being a fragmented mind. For now, I want you to go focus on that and focus on your gut. Ask your gut, how am I feeling and what do I really need in my life? So we've traveled a long way in this episode. We've looked at the supercar of our brain that leaves us with a 300-word gap every single minute. We've looked at the AAS method, that is acknowledge, attention, and summarize method for building bridges to others. And we looked at the inward, at the default mode network and the invented stories that clutter our own minds. But as we bring this episode of The Balanced Mind to a close, I want you to ask a very pointed question. What are you going to do with this? Meaning this information I shared with you. In my work as a counselor, I see people every day who have collected knowledge. They've read the books, they listen to the podcast, they know the terms, but their lives aren't changing. Why is that? Because they are stuck on their own shoreline. They are looking at a bridge. They are studying all the blueprints of the bridge, but they haven't put a single foot on the wooden planks yet, meaning they did not start to cross on that bridge towards what they actually want. You see, maturity isn't about how much you know. It's about how much you apply of what you know. And listening is the most applied skill you can ever learn in your life. I quickly want to go back to the 1 in 60 rule. One last time. If you take away only one thing from today, let it be this. Your life is shaped by the small permissiveness of your attention. When you sit at the dinner table tonight and your child or your partner is telling you about their day, you are at a navigational crossroad. Say you get a notification of an email on your phone. You just made a 1-degree error by choosing to look at the notification instead of the conversation. It seems small and insignificant. It seems harmless, but if you do that every night for 60 days, you will be 60 miles away from the heart of your partner or your child. On the other hand, if you put the phone in another room, if you use your time and energy, and to really attend, you are making 1 degree correction. That is a positive choice. You are pointing your life towards connection, towards empathy, and towards maturity. Maturity is the recognition that someday is a horizon that will never arrive. The only thing that exists is this moment you're living in right now, this conversation, and the 300-word gap. What are you going to fill it with? Are you going to fill it with love? Or are you going to fill it with the internal noise of your own ego? Let's talk about that social house that we talked about. I want you to take a mental walk through your house right now. And I want to ask you this. Who is currently in your inner bedroom, your personal soft spot? Who are you allowing into that spot? Who are the two or three people who hold the keys to that door? Now ask yourself, when was the last time I truly listened to them? Not just heard their requests for helping out around the house or getting groceries or their complaints about the weather, but listen to the story behind their story. Research tells us that the greatest human need is to be loved, but also to be understood. When you use the attention, acknowledging, and summarizing method, the AAS, with your partner or your best friend, you are giving them the greatest gift a human being can give. You are saying, you know what, I'm willing to slow down my fast brain to match your slow heart. And don't put it like that to sound like an insult. It is saying I'm choosing to listen to your rhythm. Now there's a question. What about the people on my stoop, on my porch? Maturity means being polite and present, but also having the boundaries to say, you know what, guys, I don't have emotional fuel for this to build a deep bridge here today. And that is not being mean. That's being balanced. It's protecting your health, mind, platter, so you have enough nutrition left for the people who matter the most. Remember to use your 30-second micro rest, the deep breathing while you're in the conversation, just to ground yourself and take a step back and refresh. When you listen to your friend, let them finish their thought. Take a deep breath and say, so am I understanding you correctly? Is this what you are saying? So you are reflecting what they're saying. You are summarizing. So as we close today's episode, I want to thank you. Thank you for using your focus time to be here with me on the Balanced Mind. By listening to this, you've already started to work. You've already made the 1 degree positive correction. Remember, the world is loud. It wants your attention. It wants your outrage. And it wants your distraction. But you have a choice. You can follow the noise, or you can find the balance. You can stay on the shoreline, or you can build a bridge. It is important to listen to what the world is saying, but don't let it drown you out. Listen to your loved ones, but don't lose yourself. And most of all, listen to that quiet, steady, inner voice of truth inside
you. Remember this. The world is loud.
It's the only compass.
It wants your attention.
It wants your outrage.
And it wants your distraction.
So my name
is John
Bicycle.
You can follow the noise,
the balance,
or you can find the balance. You can stay on the shoreline,
turn down the noise,
building a bridge,
and start building bridges.
Yes, it's important to listen to the world, but don't let it drown you out. Listen to your loved ones, but don't lose yourself. But most of all, listen to that quiet, steady voice of truth inside of you. That feeling in your gut. Listen to what your body tells you. It's the only compass that will never leave you astray. Guys, my name is Dion Bicycle, and this has been The Balanced Mind. Go out there, turn down the noise, and start building bridges. I'll talk to you in the next one. Ciao.